Welcome into Arrowhead Pride Radio. Arrowhead Pride, the most popular Chiefs website on all of the internet.
Pass sidearm, pass intercepted. It's Dan Sorensen, a pick six. Dan Sorensen, dirty Dan Sorensen.
All Chiefs, all the time. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
And welcome to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Well, you heard it right there, Dirty Dan. Now, that was already pre-produced. That was another one of Dirty Dan's pick six.
Once in a while, Dirty Dan rip off a touchdown.
Now, he and Mark Peterson tied for the second most in the NFL since 16. Dirty pick six Dan, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. We've got Ron Kopp, the lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, coming on at 6:15, like we do each and every week. Then a little special treat, deputy editor, arrowheadpride.com, John Dixon, about his complicated formula, be the first seed, playoffs. He's got the ratios for everybody. And I do want to ask you about Buffalo.
Yeah, every Wednesday we'll have the playoff picture at arrowheadpride.com. Cool to have John coming on in just a bit to talk about it.
The injuries today, Pete, not much to see here. Matter of fact, it's a very thin injury report, to be honest with you. The only did not practice today was Chris LeMans, the gunner there on special teams, that high ankle sprain. Probably looking at a couple weeks for him.
At least.
The good news was Rashad Fenton with that knee, limited practice today, but at least it was an LP, not a DNP. Yeah. Did not practice. And by the way, Niang's back as well, at least limited practice. We'll see where that goes.
I saw Rashad Fenton walking around practice last week. He was not participating. He was out of practice technically all week, but looked all right. I think if he's limited on Wednesday, which he was, I bet you he progresses into maybe finding himself playing in this game. Lucas Niang, limited again on Wednesday. This is a key injury to watch for Thursday because Niang, if you remember, Jay, was limited last Wednesday and then ended up shutting it down and missing the rest of the week. I think it's also a player that you watch and you wonder, are they going to put him in the mix until he's really ready? Andrew Wiley struggled at first, but has kind of settled in there at right tackle. And Andy Reid has typically in the past with these type of situations kind of ridden what is like the hot offensive line. You might think it may be different with these two guys because, as Andy said today, Andrew Wiley is a natural guard. So you have Niang, who they like at right tackle. Maybe he gets back in the mix if he's ready. But these two players, I think, are trending in the right direction, and you nailed it on LeMans. I think it'll be quite a few weeks. The Raiders, to me, have much greater injury issues because look no further than Darren Waller. Waller did not practice again. Knee and back. The head coach of the Raiders, Rich Bisaccia, said he's just getting out of the pool. If you're just getting out of the pool, maybe on what is going to be Thursday of game week, you're not playing in the game. So as far as health goes,
can't make the club in the tub, literally.
That's right. As far as health goes, the Chiefs should have a distinct advantage in this game.
Let me ask you about this. Andrew Wiley, obviously playing the tackle position. Kyle Long was activated, Pete. This is a question you've had to the Chiefs for a long time, going back into training camp, and everybody's kind of wondering, when's he coming back? Well, his clock was about to expire, either be activated or be thrown back on the PUP for the rest of the year. He's activated. Now, he's a guard by trade, but he made the Pro Bowl both guard and right tackle when he was with the Chicago Bears. Any chance, now I don't think now, just give him a couple weeks. When we say 3 more weeks down the stretch, is Kyle Long the starting right tackle for the Chiefs?
I don't think so. I really think it'll be Niang. It would have to be a situation where Niang came back and didn't play well, and maybe the Chiefs would try Long there. But I don't think Andy Reid likes to get these guys out of position that often. I just think Wiley's doing that right now because the Chiefs ended up thinking that he is the best possible option there. I consider Long, once he is active, once he's ready to go, he'll become essentially Trey Smith's personal backup at right guard. The Chiefs are fortunate and they have so much guard depth that I think, so say Joe Tooney were to get injured, I think
that's with trading LDT.
Right. I think they put Nick Allegretti in if the left guard position. And so you really have one for one at each position. Austin Blythe would be your center backup. Prince Tagovailoa might be that left tackle position. So you got good options there across the board. Mike Remmers is on IR right now. We'll see if he even comes back at this point. But the Chiefs are in a much better position right now, I would say, at offensive line than they were last year. And as we unfortunately learned, that is a very good thing.
Is this a defensive team now, Pete? I say that kind of in jest because It's not what you expect when I say Kansas City Chiefs. You're thinking explosive offense. You're thinking a Legion of Zoom. Mm. You're thinking of Mahomes airing the ball out. But defensively, the last four, they've given up less than 10 points a game, 9.75. Last five, 11.2 points a game. Last six, because I'm going to throw the Titans game in there, and just to be fair, that 27 points they gave up, that 27-3, they're still at 13.8, including that Titans game. Now, the offense is 23 points a game the last five games, but this defense, you believe in it at this point?
I think they're a defensive team. I don't know how you couldn't say that after what we've seen.
Wait, you think they're a defensive team?
I do, until they're proven otherwise, right? And we can't even necessarily rely on one game, because you had the Raiders game 3 weeks ago, the first of the two. We'll get the second one on Sunday, but you had the first game a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden, you said to yourself, this is the offense I'm used to. Five touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes, kind of having their way with an opposing defense. And then suddenly, as the weeks go on, the offense that you've grown used to in this season kind of reared its ugly head, and the struggles are there after the opening script. It seems like the team gets lost. It shoots itself in the foot with drops and penalties and whatnot, whereas the defense, which was historically bad at the beginning of the season, has become this beacon of consistency for you. So I think right now they are a defensive team. I think it's important that they become a more balanced team before the playoffs begin, because I think with the offense playing this well, to reasonably expect them to win the AFC title is a stretch. And so you got to see something a little bit more consistent. It's got to be more than one game, because we did see it against the Raiders. So if they do it Sunday, to me, they have to repeat it the next Thursday and then repeat it again the next Sunday.
On the offensive side of the ball, the drops continue to be a problem. Chiefs fourth most drops in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, second only to Keenan Allen as far as drop passes are concerned. Andy Reid was asked about that today.
Yeah, so every day after practice, we catch extra balls, and so we make sure we get that done. Just concentration on the ball and looking at it all the way in, going back to those fundamentals during practice, on every throw during practice. Anytime you're catching a ball, look it all the way into the tuck. So we'll keep working on that.
He's big into that. Look it all the way back in the tuck. I did find this question today, Pete, when Andy Reid has press conference by Sam McDowell. It asked him, the effectiveness of the offense minus the drops, like how much are you blaming the drops for the way the offense is performing? And I like something he uses here.
Yeah, no, listen, we try to evaluate everything the best we can and look at it, not hide anything. We try to do it from a real standpoint. I listen to what the coaches say. I listen to what the players say. I keep my ears open. Everybody's saying the right things. We've got to take care of business. And you know, as much as we're doing those, that can change, you know, as long as we go into it and make that happen. So this will be a good challenge, because they're a good defense, and we're going to need to have that focus.
And he used the term drive stoppers today as well, because that's what it does. I mean, you look at what's happened with this team. You go back to that Dallas game, first possession of the second half, again, back when you're on script a bit, because you get the ball first in the second half.
Right.
Travis Kelce has one bounce off of him. Interception. Same thing happened against the Broncos. You get the ball first, second half, because the Broncos won the toss and they chose to take the football first, giving the Chiefs the ball at the end of the second half. And Tyreek Hill lets one go through his hands and intercepted. These things have been not going the trend that they would like.
No, I think when they start to get into a groove, something like that happens. You know, you talk about the penalties where, you're getting downfield and then all of a sudden there's a holding call or a personal foul. You have a drop. You have an interception. I know that Patrick Mahomes was taking some of the blame today, but when he threw that pass, it hit Tyreek Hill and went into the hands of another defender. He threw his hands in the air, similar to what you saw with Tyrann Mathieu and Daniel Sorensen earlier in the year. There has to be a little bit of frustration there, and I think it's there, because what the Chiefs need right now is for mistakes like that to not happen so that they can get into a groove. I think they're really struggling to find a flow. I've been saying this all week. It really takes a flow, a rhythm in football, and they're breaking their own rhythm. That money quote that Eric Bieniemy made a few weeks ago, where the Kansas City Chiefs are kicking the Kansas City Chiefs' ass, we have not seen that stop yet when it comes to the offense. And so I think if you play a little bit more clean football, efficient football, and you could score, kind of opens the floodgates a little bit, similar to what you saw against the Raiders a few weeks ago. Can they repeat it on Sunday? And then the key here, not to look past it, well, we can look past it because we're just radio hosts.
Yeah.
The key is going to be winning that Thursday night football game. You got to have your offense feeling good about themselves. Use Sunday to feel good about yourself because you're going into what is going to be the biggest game of the year division-wise because you expect the Chargers to take care of business against the Giants. You expect to win this game on Sunday. Thursday night, short rest, traveling will be for first place in the AFC West.
And by the way, Keenan Allen knew it on the COVID list earlier this week. Mike Williams goes on it today and Chris Harris. Something to watch.
Right.
With the Chargers for next Thursday night because we're looking at a game in 8 days for the Kansas City Chiefs, this stretch of 11 days with three games with the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Chiefs versus the Raiders, 8-2 in the last 10, 12-2 in the last 14, 14 in the last 17. They've definitely had their number. I did want to ask you about one thing, Pete. At the end of the first half, because I think it could symbolize other things, end of the first half, minute 9 left, two timeouts, they decide to run the football. I mean, with the defense playing like it was early in the season, I doubt they do that. Look, I figured they would press the ball down, knowing they're going to have the ball in the second half, try to get any kind of points they could, then get a touchdown in the first half. They didn't do that situation. Patrick Mahomes joins the drive each and every Monday at 2:15. This is the way he described that drive and what they were thinking about. I'm curious what you're thinking about.
Yeah, well, with the situation and with the wind blowing against us, we knew that we were going to have to get pretty far into the red zone to get in the range to have a real legitimate chance at a field goal. So we didn't want to give them the ball and give them the win where they could get points and knowing that we got the ball coming out of half. So we wanted to run the ball, and we were hoping with the run play that we'd get a little bit of a bigger chunk of yards there. And if we got a bigger chunk of the yards, then we would kind of get into that two-minute mode. But they played a good defense, made a good play, and kind of stuffed us there. So after that point, we were kind of in that mode where we were trying to run the timeout. And we got it down enough, but we wish we'd at least one first down to kind of end the possession with the ball.
It was certainly frustrating because it's not the Chiefs we're used to seeing. We're used to seeing aggressive, let it fly type of deal.
Even Mahomes.
Two timeouts. I mean,
I'm not criticizing Mahomes here, but even those comments, right? That's not the Chiefs. Those aren't the Chiefs.
It shows me that the defense is the most trusted right now.
Run the football because you want to pick up chunks. You know how the Chiefs are supposed to pick up chunks? By throwing the ball. I mean, and you can even hear it there in the game plan and the thought process right now in the offense. There's a little fear there. We didn't want to give the ball back to the Broncos. So now you're going into a situation like that worried. I mean, there was 1 minute left. There were two timeouts.
And they did not. Your guy, Alex Okafor, almost made a pay.
Your 2019 Chiefs, 2019 Patrick Mahomes talking to 2021 Patrick Mahomes there as he's talking to the drive would be like, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to do my Mahomes impression.
You know, I can't believe the defense dropped three picks. I mean, that's why they play defense. I get it. So I can't come down on their hands.
Even the Broncos in that situation were, I think, a little bit shell-shocked. And then they end up calling timeout because they wanted to be aggressive at that point. It's like, what kind of Twilight Zone, Kansas City Chiefs Twilight Zone, have we found ourselves in?
Good stuff. Ron Kopp at Ron underscore K-O-P-P, as Pete says, joins us next. He's the lead analyst over at arrowheadpride.com. And he had a pretty good piece out today about just how good this Chiefs third down defense is becoming.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger, Jay Binkley. And the editor-in-chief, not me, it's Pete Sweeney. He's the editor-in-chief
of
ArrowheadPride.com. Yep. Lead analyst on the phone line now as he joins us each and every week for Arrowhead Pride Radio. Did a fantastic piece about the Chiefs' third down defense over at arrowheadpride.com. His name is Ron Kopp, at Ron underscore KO, as Pete says, double P. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing good, man. Did you have fun diving into third down defenses? I know I've spoke to you in this past, but you know, did you ever think there'd be a time and day where the Chiefs would be in the top 10 in that particular category? Now, it doesn't mean the teams aren't going for them on fourth down because they're almost at 64% going against the Chiefs on fourth down. But at least third down, the Chiefs have their number.
Yeah, and I think the fourth down numbers is still skewed from just – it was earlier in the season, but this entire season teams being aggressive on fourth down, knowing that Mahomes is on the other side of the field, although obviously the offense isn't as threatening as it used to be. But, yeah, this third down defense, man, all of a sudden top 10 in the league season long after I don't know the exact ranking, you know, they were at certain times this season, but I can't imagine they were very close to the top 10 at some points. And what really it is right now is it's just Steve Spagnuolo in his bag. He is just calling great plays and great situations, not being predictable whatsoever. You know, one third down, he'll send the entire house and you know, not have any safeties cover zero blitz. And then the next third down, he's dropping into coverage and only rushing four guys and confusing the quarterback in that way. So I think it's really about Spags right now. It's funny, we kind of heard maybe some hot seat talks about Spags earlier this season when the defense wasn't performing well. I think this is telling you that it was always about the personnel, which, hey, you can definitely blame Spags maybe a little bit for some of those personnel decisions. But once he got the best personnel in there, we're seeing the best lineup in right now. It's just all working together, and it's all coming together on third down specifically with his play calls. And they're getting off the field. That's what matters, man.
Ron, I'm going to make this tough on you and take Dirty Dan out of the mix. Who's been the most important defensive player for the turnaround?
Yeah, Dirty Dan 6'6", man. That was the game stealer, so you got to give him credit. Man, the most important player, it's hard to not say someone like Melvin Ingram just off the top of your head, because you talk about he comes right in and all of a sudden the pass rush comes alive. I don't know how many offensive linemen, or I should say, how they would rank pass rushers they want to face right now. I think this trio of Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram, and Frank Clark would be up there. And guys like Jaron Reed started to make plays as well. So you got to account for all them. But, you know, I think what it all comes down to, I think the main player that has been kind of the star of the show over this last stretch that continues to make plays with Jarius Sneed. I'd even want to say Traverius Ward too, but Sneed makes so many plays in the run and against the pass. He's all over the field. Spags trusts him to do a variety of things, and man, he's really becoming one of the best playmakers at that slot cornerback position. The entire NFL already, it's crazy.
Ron, you look at this team and you look at the defensive progress that they've made, and the one thing that hasn't coincided with it is Nick Bolton's playing time. You know, we've seen it, you know, hovering around 29%, 28%, 34%. He was at 82% going back that Titans game. But he still leads this team by 20 tackles. He still leads tackles for losses by five. Now, he does make the best of it, had four tackles this last week. He makes the best of it within 29% of the snaps. What do you make of that? Just Hitchens' play and the way he's at? Are you a little bit surprised they're having the success they are on defensively with Nick Bolton's numbers coming down as far as snaps?
Yeah, going into this game, I would have told you that, yeah, I'm not in favor of all of putting Hitch back in completely over Bolton, and that's not what they're doing. You know, Bolton still gets mixed in sometimes in those two linebacker sets alongside Gay, but most of the time right now, it is Hitchens and Gay. But I say going into last game, because if you notice, man, Hitchens was flying all over the field against Denver. He was shooting through gaps as quick as I've ever seen him do it. You know, he looked a lot faster and quicker, like I said, than he has in a while. We talked about in the preseason that he might have lost some weight and looked a little more spry. I feel like it really hasn't come to fruition in the regular season until Denver. He really stood out in that respect. There's still a few missed tackles, which that's where I come to my final point, my overarching point, is that I still would rather have Bolton in the game. Bolton just seems to be still a more, a steadier tackler, more consistent tackler, just, you know, quicker to the hole, you know, just more of a playmaker. He's a younger guy, obviously. Hitchens is a veteran, but I got to give Hitchens credit, though. He looked a lot better, and he's probably kind of feeling that hot seat maybe a little bit from Bolton. You know, we talk about Alex Smith maybe feeling the heat from Mahomes' rookie year. You know, Hitch might be feeling that, too, and that might be kind of propelling him to play maybe, you know, better than he has at times this season.
Yes, Steve Spagnuolo deserves all the credit in the world for this turnaround, but he does have this tendency to lean into veterans even when the athletic ability of some of these younger guys is quite obvious. I think you're seeing a little bit of that with Nick Bolton. Pete Sweeney here with Jay Binkley talking to our lead analyst from Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp. All right, Ron, let's talk about the offense. We got to go into the doldrums here. What's your explanation for why they can't put 2 weeks together here?
Yeah, you know, we all came out of this bye week and we're thinking, oh, okay, we're going to see an Andy Reid special. We're going to see that open script, creative as heck. You know, we're going to see reverses. We're going to see really well-designed screens. We're going to see all these special plays. you know, if you look pretty closely, Andy actually kept it very vanilla against Denver, and that actually makes me think, and I don't necessarily agree with his philosophy here, but I think he's really starting to resort back to the philosophy he had when it was an Alex Smith offense where, hey, we're going to come out, we're going to score points early, we're going to get out to a 7 or 10 nothing lead, and then we're just going to coast, man. I'm not going to show you anything else if I'm Andy Reid. I got a lot of stuff in my bag, but why would I show you when I trust my defense and my special teams and my offense just enough to do enough and win the game? And I really think that's what happened because, man, there was no sort of creativity in terms of the reverse game against Denver. You know, a lot of the passes, the more successful passes, a lot of basic concepts, not a lot of, you're designing a big play for somebody in particular. I really think, I think it's a not being aggressive in that sense as a play caller can really come back to bite you. And we have all talked about the Andy Reid shutdown mode in his career, but man, that can really come back to bite you if you don't come out of that at certain times when you need to. I trust that he's going to come out of it. When the games really matter, he'll trust Mahomes a little more maybe to have that all come together and the offense to kind of be just go off a little more, I guess, and kind of be more aggressive with the play calling. But it seems like right now he's kind of content with, hey, let's just find a way to win these games. You know, I'm not going to show much. I'm going to trust my defense because they're playing really well right now. And I'll wait until the postseason to really break out the stuff, or maybe just more important games.
Yeah, Ron,
break out the stuff I really need to.
That's what I wanted you to be clear about, because I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you when it comes to what has been a vanilla offense. So you think it's much more Andy Reid saving some things for what might be the Chargers on Thursday night or what might be a postseason game than just a fear that maybe the defense is going to cause you to fumble or intercept the football. You think he's saving it maybe for a Chargers game would be a perfect example.
I just think so because we've seen him do that in the past. I think it was very obvious in the Alex Smith era that he was doing that at times. And yes, the thing is, this offense would look a lot better if they still would just freaking execute, as you guys have already talked about tonight. Just don't drop the ball, don't fumble, and all of a sudden the vanilla offensive game plan, you know, looks a lot better because they're able to execute those plays. But, yeah, I really think the main thing right now, if the offense needed to score more, needed to be turned up a little more, I think Andy, with his play calling, could do so. It just seems like right now they're kind of content to not do it at this point. Because I think even the opening script against Denver was very vanilla. It wasn't a lot of, well-designed, crazy plays. It was just a lot of base offense. They just executed it, and then they didn't do it for the rest of the game. So,
it should be noted. Chiefs 5-0 when they win the turnover battle. They're 3-4 when the turnovers are even or a negative turnover ratio. They have cleaned that up. They're 24th in the NFL now at -5, so they've gotten out of that 32 spot. Giveaways, they're still 31st, but takeaways, they're 11. So they're getting the ball back, and they're doing it. I mean, I look at this offense and at times, Ron, and sometimes it's – and also we want to look at the penalties. Remember they were one of the least penalized teams at the beginning of the year? They started creeping up to the top five. They're 14th in the NFL in penalties point. This part is coming back for the Chiefs, a respectable amount. But these are drive killers, man. It is drive killers when you're dropping the football, you're on a roll, the offense has a rhythm. Because a couple times we've seen with the Broncos game and going back to the Cowboys game, Chiefs were in a rhythm in the second half, and it just stops the drive. I mean, I think this offense has more, but I would put a lot on the drop passes.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned the penalties, man. That's just as bad as the drop pass. Think about Trey Smith a couple weeks ago against Dallas. He has 30 yards of penalty on one drive, and there's just no chance you're getting back in that drive. And those holding calls have happened a few times here and there where it just seems like it, at the worst situations possible. So, no, it really is just the Chiefs just being a little undisciplined. But I think Andy, with knowing that, I think there is maybe a little bit of, hey, right now my defense is my best unit. I'm going to trust them a little more than my offense. And, hey, it's worked out right now. And his entire career in the regular season, that has worked out. Andy's had that happen. But it hasn't worked out in the postseason in those seasons with Alex Smith. Obviously it always ended bad. So you got to hope he changes that philosophy by the time January rolls around.
Good stuff, Ron. I will note the Raiders are second in the NFL in penalties by one, or they would be the top penalized team in the NFL, and they're second in penalty yards. So they're exactly where they're usually at with penalties
Thank
for
you,
this
Vegas,
game.
Right? Thanks.
But Ron Kopp, lead analyst, Arrowhead Pride, joins us each and every week. Good talking to you, Ron.
Yes, sir. Have a good night, fellas.
Coming up next is a new feature of arrowheadpride.com. It's a good read. Playoff probabilities. What you need to win, who you need to lose, can you win the number one seed? Good stuff with deputy editor of arrowheadpride.com, John Dixon. He's next.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley, and I'm sitting here with Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. And joining us now, the deputy editor of arrowheadpride.com, John Dixon, who started today something that's going to be continuing throughout the year, and that's playoff probabilities for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's come to my understanding this has been the most popular article today on arrowheadpride.com. Right. So, John, congratulations. And you're saying at this point a 90% chance of the Chiefs to make the postseason.
Yeah, we actually started this last Monday. And a week ago, the chance was a little less, 84%, to make the playoffs. But, of course, the win against Denver and a couple of other things that happened in the league brought it up to 90%. So that's actually a very good probability. Getting down to cases, the Chiefs only need to win three of the five remaining games to have an almost locked-in chance to win the playoffs. If they win the first three, they're locked in. If they win, for example, against the Chargers, Steelers, and Broncos, they're locked in. But any three of five gives them like a greater than 99% chance to be in the playoffs. So they're in very good shape there. Now, that would just give them, just guarantee them, a wild card game in the playoffs. They might do better than that, depending on what else happens. But, of course, what we really want is to have a home game in the playoffs, and the easiest way to do that is to win the AFC West. And the Chiefs really have a very simple thing there. They just have to win three of their division games, the next three of them. And the most critical game there is the game against the Chargers. If they lose that game against the Chargers because the Chargers have that head-to-head tiebreaker from their win over the Chiefs earlier in the season, that makes it very difficult for them to win the division. It can be done, but they would have to win the rest of their games, the rest of the five games, and then the Chargers would have to lose one of their games against the Giants, Texans, Broncos, and Raiders. So we've really got to win that game against the Chargers, which unfortunately is on a Thursday night on the road, but that's going to be the key to winning the West. Then we have the first round bye. People are very interested in that. And right now the Chiefs have a pretty good chance to win that first round bye. Well, actually, not that good. 13%.
Saying that's still more than Dumb and Dumber when they said, you're saying I got a chance when it was 99% chance she wouldn't go out with him.
Well, the thing is that if the Chiefs take care of their business, if they win their last five games, which I think is quite possible, I think that that's something they could really do, they stand a 3-4 chance to get that first round bye. And a week ago, all they needed in addition to that, to the winning their last five games, was five losses from four different teams. They had to have the Ravens lose twice. They had for, they needed for the Buffalo Bills to lose a game. They needed for the Patriots to lose a game. And they need the Titans to lose a game. Well, we got some help over the weekend. The Ravens lost to the Steelers. The Bills lost to the Patriots. So now all we need are losses by the Ravens, Patriots, and Tennessee Titans to go along with winning out the rest of the season, and the Chiefs will lock up the number three seed or the number one seed in the playoffs. So it's definitely possible. What's very interesting is not this week, but following the Chiefs game against the Chargers, if they win that game, then in week 15, the Patriots play the Colts on the road, the Titans go to Heinz Field to play the Steelers,
and the Ravens will host the Packers. Now, right now, those games are almost pick-ems. They could all three go either way. If the right teams win those three games, then all the Chiefs would have to do is win out, and they've got that number one seed. So that's why I, you know, in my mind, I think this is pretty easy, even though as it stands right now, it isn't.
Well, it's a great read, John. I mean, it's a great read. Each and every Wednesday you put that out there. It's good stuff. I know people are reading it. I look forward to seeing us again next week.
Glad to be on with you.
John Dixon, Deputy Editor, ArrowheadPride.com. Thanks a lot, John. I appreciate that.
And I think
I am curious about the Bills' probability, because you and I were talking about this before.
Right.
It's strange to even talk about the Bills not making the playoffs after, you know, looking good earlier this year, winning against the Kansas City Chiefs in dramatic fashion. But they're 7-5. Right? There's a bunch of mediocre teams right behind them. The Colts, the Browns, that are in the same situation. But they got to play the Bucs at the Bucs. They got to go play at the Patriots. Could be 7 losses for the Bills, but then they have a combination with the Falcons and the Jets and the Panthers. Very winnable games. But, Pete, the margin for error for that team in Buffalo, slim to none after losing the Patriots.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit dicey in Buffalo, and I know for a fact that that fan base was really high on their team heading into the season, coming out of that AFC title game with the Chiefs and feeling like they were close and they rebuilt some of their defense. And I just feel like they thought that this would be a Super Bowl type of year, and it's almost like they were blinded by some of the AFC contenders and just forgot about the New England Patriots when, at the time, Cam Newton was their quarterback, and you had kind of seen Cam.
Forgot about the team that had won 31-35
before mistake.
They swept the Patriots last year.
And what is getting worse, I think, for Buffalo, and we saw it partly, I think, on Monday Night Football in those terrible conditions, is there is still a window here to control the AFC East, because you could tell Mac Jones, in a sense, is still cooking. He's not ready to
Yeah, Belichick said after the game on his radio interview, WEI, he said, well, they haven't seen our passing game yet, because he was talking about what he might have in store for him.
In a sense, I mean, they didn't have the trust necessarily in Mac Jones to do what they were trying to do with Josh Allen, and that's use the wind and kind of throw with it, throw against it when you had to take a little bit off, to you know, put a little bit on to try to play through the wind. And Jones, it looks to me, is like they're molding him, and he's only going to get better. So they're missing what I think is a window where they don't really have a quarterback that they're super high on right now in those big spots to go win the game, and they blew that game. And again, now it becomes dicey. The key numbers from Dixon to me were 84% going up to 90% of the playoffs. We had, it's hard to remember this now, but we had worries that the Chiefs were even going to make the postseason at the beginning of the year because it was a mess. Now they're at 90%, so that's a given. And then the 13% chance for them to get the first round bye, that'll only improve with upset losses. And the weekend that he described after the Chiefs can maybe take care of business on Thursday Night Football, those three teams they need to lose are facing tough games. The key to me was the Patriots against a red-hot Colts team. If the Patriots are able to get by the Bills in their second meeting, the Colts is the only other hill they have to climb to probably clinch that division.
Does Mac Jones remind you of an early Tom Brady, take care of the football and play defense? I'll say this. Tom Brady, 2001, when he actually was in 15 games to the Patriots, 2,800 yards passing, 63% completion, 63.9, almost 64. Mm-hmm. 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Mac Jones, 70.3% completion.
So better.
2,869 yards already with all these games still to go. 16 touchdowns, 8 picks. So he's going to beat him in completions, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns. That reminds me of early Tom Brady, man,
the way they're playing. He looks to be the best quarterback of that class right now. I mean, it's so early in it, and I, you know, I don't know if necessarily Trevor Lawrence was dealt a fair hand here.
He wasn't. He went to Jacksonville.
It's terrible. Trey Lance, we haven't really seen. Fields, same type of case. Zach Wilson, to me, has not been as good as Jones, who it's probably a comparable quarterback, right, to what would be Jones. So,
shocker, after a year of COVID and only playing your conference, that combine, we have these situations. Shocking.
Jones falls to New England, and you're seeing what's happening. And I had this, we did this poll at SB Nation where the entire league's fans are polled, and only, I think it was slightly above half, felt like Mac Jones would be the long-term guy. I see him as a long-term guy. I'm not saying that he's going to be Tom Brady. I think that'd be absurd to say. But I think he's going to be the quarterback that is going to drive Bills fans crazy for the next decade. Well,
they're
and
playing
a half.
Like early Tom Brady. I mean, yeah. Ball control, you know, let the defense win games.
The amount of the way they use their running
backs.
And
then things changed, obviously, with Randy Moss.
The rest of the league, so you have these four or five teams that use the one running back. The rest of the league pretty much uses two. But you have almost a three-headed monster in New England, and it doesn't seem like these three guys in Stevenson, Harris, and Bolden really care who's on the field at what time. And they've just been using that type of system for a while. And it's bailing Jones out, in a sense, especially a weather game like we saw on Monday night.
Absolutely love that Monday Night Football game. I know a lot of people didn't. I actually did like that game. I thought Belichick trolled the Bills in his top three performance by him.
Didn't you hear McDermott? It's not a Belichick thing.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, come on, man. The guy's got six rings, man. Just give his credit. Coming up next, if you want to ask Pete Sweeney a question, hit me up on Twitter, Jay Southland.
Bring the questions in.
913-576-7016. Questions for Pete. Plus a Pete question from this week.
I love it.
We haven't got the Pete questions. Pete question next.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Frequently you'll mention 2-4 Melvin Ingram and what he's been able to do. How much do you view him as a catalyst of really getting this whole defense and the ship righted there?
Yeah, no, he's been a positive influence for the defense. I think he probably the thing was getting everybody back healthy, corners, D-line, linebackers. You know, we had pieces missing, it seemed like, every week. And then some of the younger kids are getting more experience and playing better. So I think it's a culmination of all of that. But I don't want to slight Melvin. When you had a Pro Bowl player in there, I mean, that's going to help you. And then he's got a good attitude. So yeah. And he's a good leader. He's very smart. So it's been a welcomed addition. The credit goes to Brett Beach on that for sure.
It's our free first Pete question of the night. You listen to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney. And Pete, you asked this question to Andy Reid on Monday. You think about the trade deadline deals in the NFL, and you've got to find the right fit for the right team. I mean, you need to think of Von Miller and Odell going to the Rams. They haven't won yet since they got there. This is a guy, in my opinion, that's made Jaron Reed bigger. Saw the double team that Melvin got in Vegas. Jaron gets a sack. Yeah. Then he gets another half sack, and all of a sudden, for the first time this year, you've seen him. You know, and then Chris Jones sliding in inside 36 snaps this week. He's been the right guy at the right time, and you do have to credit the general manager because there's certain boxes you have to check, and obviously this draft was a home run for Brett Veach. Well, these type of moves are too.
Yeah, and the good thing, I think, for the Chiefs in it is they ended up getting a discount. I know that a lot of people were like, well, why didn't they just have him from the beginning? They wouldn't be
able to. They tried.
They weren't able to come to an agreement. And so, as has been pointed out on our website, he came, in a sense, at a discount. And he has played such a role for the Chiefs. And at times, you don't understand how a team like the Steelers, who are going to be really, I think, crawling and clawing their way at trying to get a playoff in the AFC tournament, they let him go to a contender. And this is a worst-case scenario, but if the Chargers are able to knock off the Chiefs, they would be in the driver's seat for the division, and the Chiefs would take up one of those wild card spots. So you gave a team that could be a potential wild card spot, and you gave them maybe one of their most important players this year. And it's also worth noting, Jay, and we'll probably talk about this more next week, but what's been made of these next three games, starting with the Broncos, ending with the Chargers, is this AFC West stretch. After Raiders on Sunday, we get a little Melvin Ingram stretch because you get the L.A. Chargers on Thursday. I know that he is going to be juiced for that game, even though when I asked him about that game when he first got to Kansas City, he said, what for? Which, it's all right, Melvin.
He
got me at the presser. That's fine. Whatever.
That's going to be the Melvin Ingram game.
It's the Melvin Ingram stretch because you get the Chargers on Thursday night. Ingram against the Chargers at L.A. in the prime time where he spent 10 years. And then 10 days later, the Pittsburgh Steelers at Arrowhead Stadium, where Mike Tomlin said that he would rather have volunteers with him than people that were trapped, hostages, as he described it. Yep. So there's going to be some little, there's going to be some juice to those two games for Melvin Ingram, for sure.
From the 913, Pete questions here. As great as Mahomes is, does he have the worst mechanics of any superstar quarterback ever? Mechanics are poor. That's something that Skip Bayless was, or no, not Skip Bayless. Who were you looking to saying that? Was it?
It was Skip saying it.
You know, talking about the
one
mechanics.
Of the talking heads. They're all the same.
But the bottom line is, his mechanics. You can go back the last couple of years and look at some of the throws because
he was just rewriting the book on mechanics before this year.
He just makes the throw, and that's always been the most important. Now, drop passes has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes.
He's not a quarterback that you're going to show to your son coming up in Pop Warner and be like, mimic this, because it has to be grown to that, and you have to show the athletic ability. Mahomes was essentially rewriting the book on quarterback mechanics because he would switch hands and throw on the run, not have his feet set, throw off balance, and a lot of times you would say, 80% of the times it would be accurate. What's happening this year is it's been inaccurate and the offense is struggling. So now these things that are abnormal, that he was kind of, I guess, being a trailblazer in a sense when it came to mechanics, are being shined in the light. But let's not forget about 2018 to 2020 when it was the coolest thing to watch. I can't get on it for mechanics.
Everybody loved it.
It's such a quick memory in the NFL, and that's why Andy Reid is constantly reminding these guys it's all about the next game, all about the next play.
It's always been, what have you done for me lately? Pete, after this Raiders game, you're going to get an opportunity to see SoFi. I'm curious for you, and my question will be when you get out to L.A., is are they adopting the Chargers? Because I just see a whole lot of, because L.A. didn't have those teams, and they found teams to root for, and obviously the Chiefs are one of them because they fill that place up. But that's what they've had to deal with at SoFi, the visiting fans. I call the Chargers the team that rents the garage over their mom's basement.
So I do some work with 41, as people know. They're actually throwing a before-the-game-even-starts party at the Chiefs bar in L.A.
Reggie will be there.
To get on TV and have them interview about what Chiefs games are like. And I expect there to be a heavy, heavy, heavy contingent of Chiefs fans making the trip out to California. This is the biggest game of the year. The Chiefs fans travel well. Andy Reid always says that.
And Thursday night games are weird. By the way, that's Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Ron Kopp, lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, joined us. John Dixon, the deputy editor of arrowheadpride.com, joined us as well. I recommend both. Both Ron had a fantastic article in the third down percentage and where the Chiefs defense down top 10 in that category. And John Dixon's probabilities. Huge thanks to Rob Britton staying the extra hour.
Thanks, Rob.
Much appreciated from one Rob Britton. Thanks to everybody for listening. This will be podcasted for your listening pleasure.
Tyreek on the commercial says cheetah out. I'm going to say PETA out.
PETA.
There we go.
Shout out to Ralph in Dodge City.
No.
Good night, everybody.